This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Coming up, celebrating the centennial of a jazz great. But first, I think you're going to know what we're talking about from the first note. The Godfather is back. Michael, Fredo, and Tom, Fat Clemenza, and Johnny Fontan. Before Mario Puzo died in 1999, he signed off on the idea of hiring another writer to continue the saga of the characters he first created in his 1969 novel. Random House opened a contest to choose that novelist. The winner was Mark Weingartner, a 42-year-old Floridian, who was thought to be in roughly the same place that Mr. Puzo was when he wrote The Godfather, mid-career literary fiction writer. Mr. Weingartner is the author of praised novels with modest sales, including The Veracruz Blues and Crooked River Burning. He's also the director of the creative writing program at Florida State University. Now he is the author of what promises to be a big, fat bestseller, The Godfather Returns. Mark Weingartner joins us in our studios. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks a lot.
Were you more delighted or daunted to be chosen for this assignment?
Oh, delighted. I mean, it's not often that you have a vision of a novel and are, excited to write it and then have to have someone else's permission in order to embark on it.
Mm. Well, I want to get to a reading, because in that maelstrom of activity with which The Godfather ends, Tessio, longtime family confidant, played by Abe Vigoda in the film, as I recall,
is,
they find out he's, he hasn't been a loyal member of the family, and he says to Tom Hagen, played by Robert Duvall in the film, "Tom, can you fix it for me? Sorry, Sally." And he turns around and says, "Tell Michael it was strictly business. I always thought he was a good godfather." You bring us to Tessio's final moments.
It's the only murder that happens off stage at the end, and it's really the most important one emotionally, and we don't get to see it. But, well, now we do.
If you wouldn't mind, you have a character named Nick Geraci.
Right. And Geraci is a former prize fighter from Cleveland who becomes a kind of rising, smart lieutenant in Tessio's regime. And in order to prove his loyalty to the Corleones, he's asked to kill his own mentor. "I'm sorry," Tessio muttered, still looking down. This might have been directed at the Corleones, or Geraci, or at God. Geraci certainly didn't want to know which. He took the gun and walked around behind Tessio, whose bald spot, lit only by streetlights, gleamed in the darkness. "No," Al Neri said. "Not like that. In front. Look him in the eyes." "You're f***ing kidding me." Neri cleared his throat. "I don't suppose I look like I'm kidding you." "Whose idea is that?" Geraci said. Neri didn't have a gun in his hand, but Geraci could not leave this scummy garage alive if he shot anyone but Tessio. From the back office, the television set erupted in a gale of tinny applause. "Don't know, don't care," Neri said. "I'm just the messenger, sir." Geraci cocked his head. This dumbass didn't seem witty enough to make a joke about shooting the messenger, but he did seem sadistic enough to take it on himself to make the killing as cruel as possible. And, sir, how did he mean that? "Salvatore Tessio," Geraci said, "no matter what he's done, deserves more respect than that." "F*** you," Tessio said, loud now, but eyes still on the slimy floor. "Look up," Neri ordered Tessio. "Traitor." Trembling no worse, the old man did as he was told, eyes dry, staring into Geraci's, but already far away. He muttered a rapid string of names that meant nothing to Nick Geraci. Geraci raised the gun, both sickened by and grateful for the sight of his own steady hand. He pressed the barrel gently against the old man's soft forehead. Tessio did not move, did not blink, did not even shake anymore. His saggy flesh pillowed around the gun sight. Geraci had never before killed a man with a gun. "Just business," Tessio whispered.
He says that to reassure the man who'd been his protege, I guess.
Yes,
"I understand,
indeed.
Kid, don't worry, this is just business."
Yeah, and his cussing at him and spurring him on is recognizing that if his protege hesitates here, it'll be bad for him as well.
Mario Puzo very famously acknowledged that he wrote The Godfather at somewhat below what he thought of as his usual literary powers, because he hoped to write a quick bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
I think the great quote was, "If I'd known so many people were going to read it, I would have written it better." Compared with your literary fiction, which has been praised, at what level were you working?
I was working at the top of my game. I mean, I felt like, you know, there's a built-in audience for these characters, obviously, and I was really, you know, intrigued by the puzzle of writing a novel that could fit and dovetail with those, with the novel, and also not contradict anything in those great films. You know, my subject really has always, in different ways, been, you know, American mythology, and there's really nothing more central to that in the, you know, the last 30 or 40 years than the mafia story.
Johnny Fontaine returns, yeah. Who I think we can, without giving away any plot points, is certainly has always been considered the Frank Sinatra character. He's just getting a little impudent, a little full of himself.
Yeah. I mean, I like to think of him as a composite of a lot of the great Italian-American nightclub singers of that era.
You are not Italian.
That's true.
Irish-German, I believe.
That is also true. Right?
There are good people and perceptive people. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking principally of Mario Cuomo, mm-hmm. who has complained over the years that The Godfather, and he's made the same complaint about The Sopranos, mm-hmm. is fiction, dishonest, and mm-hmm. certainly is bad for Italian-Americans. And when someone of Mr. Cuomo's stature makes that mm-hmm. complaint, when people like Mario Puzo and Francis Ford Coppola say, well, no, we think this is a story worth telling, mm-hmm. they've got some, whatever the Italian phrase for street cred would mm-hmm, be on that
sure.
issue. How do you handle that question?
Well, the idea that you write about something and therefore that means that you're saying that everybody is like this. No, everyone's not like this. That's mm-hmm. why it's a book, period. But also, you know, I'm not from Cleveland either. And, you know, I wrote a novel in Cleveland history where, you know, to judge from the fan mail I got, everyone seems to think I was born and raised mm-hmm. there.
And a lot of Cleveland in this book.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think.
But I'm not from there. And, you know, I think the role of personal experience, while important, can really be exaggerated by people in consuming the book. Mm-hmm. I mean, Shakespeare, you know, was never a king.
Is there room for a sequel? Because I got to tell you, I don't know what years it would take place because every part of the saga seems to be covered right now.
It's not. Actually, I've done the hardest work already by snaking my plot through the events of Godfather Part II. The first novel goes from 1945 to 1955. Mm-hmm. Mine very, you know, picks up right there, goes from 1955 to 1962. And there's absolutely nothing that's been said about the years between 1962 and 1979.
Oh. Do you know? Has Francis Ford Coppola read the book?
I know some things that I've tried to stay out of all.
Boy,
that.
You've really learned how to kind of like talk in that world, haven't
well,
you?
Well, yeah, there's been an enormous amount of interest. I kind of feel like I should just leave that to the, you know, the characters, the Corleone family themselves, who've proven to be very persuasive in this regard.
Take the book, leave the cannoli.
Thank you very much.
Has anyone said that to you?
No, never. It's all new, and all references to an offer I can't refuse are completely startling to me every time I hear them.
I wasn't going to stoop that low, just perhaps a fraction above that. Mark Weingartner is the author of The Godfather Returns. He's also director of the Creative Writing Program at Florida State University. Probably a very popular professor. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Scott.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
To hear another excerpt from The Godfather Returns, you can come to our website, npr.org.